Welcome back to the Playbook Podcast with your host, Kyle Stout, another host,
Garrett Burkle.
So we're finally back after winter break. How's your winter break, Garrett?
Pretty good.
You know, it was pretty good winter break for me. I think the highlight of my winter break was the Indianapolis Colts losing their final game.
Yeah, low-key.
They had to have, like, wanted to lose. Like, there's no way.
I don't know. And then
they were up seven.
Ballard really said late yesterday that Saturday's a real candidate for the job, which
that's hilarious. He won one game in this. I mean, he came in what when the team was 3-5-1. He won one game against the Las Vegas Raiders.
He knew what he was getting into though. That team wasn't going to get any better.
I mean, there's no real reason why Jeff Saturday should be in consideration. I mean, I don't think anybody's mad at him because I think for the most part the fan base was fine losing and, you know, getting a draft pick because that's what you need at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So, I think...
Who do you draft at four, though? Or is it four or five?
I want to go into that. We have four right now. Four. So, the current draft order, I'm going to go top 10. Number one, Chicago. Number two, Houston. That's pretty big because Chicago's not going to draft a quarterback. So, just note that. Arizona at number three. Indianapolis at number four. Denver at number five, but that Denver pick goes to Seattle because of the Russell Wilson trade. Los Angeles Rams at number six, but that pick goes to the Detroit Lions because of the Matt Stafford trade. Number seven, Las Vegas. Number eight, Atlanta. Number nine, Carolina. And number 10, New Orleans. And then that pick goes to Philadelphia. So out of those top 10, Chicago's not going to go quarterback. I think it's pretty obvious Houston goes quarterback. Arizona won't. Indianapolis is kind of a toss up. I think they should. I think
they will.
I think they should. I just don't know. I'm going to get into that. I think Seattle's a big toss up because, I mean, Geno played so good and made the playoffs in his first year. So I think you keep him, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And then Detroit's kind of a toss up. I don't know if you stay with Jared Goff or not. I mean, he played relatively well, though. I mean, the team went 9-8 and barely missed the playoffs, so I think they have a good future there with Jared Goff. I think Vegas goes quarterback, Las Vegas. It also depends where they're drafting and who's available. Do you think Atlanta goes quarterback, or do you think they ride with Desmond Ridder?
I think they get a quarterback.
I just don't know who at that point.
That's true, yeah.
And then Carolina probably goes quarterback, right?
Yeah, I would think so. I think they might trade up the pick, though.
And then at that point, after that, I don't think there's many teams that would. It's just, it's good that the Colts lost to the Texans, but it's not good that Chicago won because now you're in a position where a team like Las Vegas, Atlanta, Carolina, if they really want Bryce Young, they could, or CJ Stroud for that matter, they could trade up to number one.
That's true, yeah.
And then at that point, let's say Bryce Young's off the board, Houston would go Stroud number two.
Right.
And then you get to Indianapolis, and who's the best quarterback on the board? Will Levis.
Levis, yeah.
And I don't want to go Levis at four.
Yeah.
I think at that point you would trade down, and I'm fine with going Levis, but you'd have to trade down.
Right.
So I think in the press conference Ballard had yesterday, he said that if they are locked in on a quarterback, they will do whatever is necessary to trade up. And I think that if you really want Stroud or Young, you got to trade to number one. I think that's the only realistic way because there's no way Chicago doesn't trade down, and there's no way a team that doesn't want a quarterback doesn't trade up.
I get what you're saying. Because
Chicago, they didn't need the number one pick, but they're going to get a lot of draft capital and a lot of assets for that number one pick. And they can still go the defensive player that they want at, you know, pick four.
Right.
That's what I think is most realistic. I think it would take less for Indianapolis to trade up to one from pick four than it would for, you know, Vegas at seven or Atlanta at eight, Carolina at nine.
That's true, yeah.
So I think there's a good chance that the Indianapolis ends up with Bryce Young. I think that's the most realistic option. It also all depends on the pro day that these quarterbacks have. You know, CJ Stroud, who would you draft at number one?
Stroud, Bryce, or probably Bryce? Young.
I think you'd have to. And I mean, a lot of people, including myself, after the game were kind of like, oh, C.J. Stroud is a Colt. Like, he is definitely going to the Colts now. You're at that number four. But then everybody kind of realized Chicago's at one now. Somebody's going to trade up. Now, I don't think it's realistic at all you get Stroud. I think it's Bryce Young or Derek Carr.
So you think Stroud's the first quarterback off the board?
I think it's going to be Young. I was just kind of bringing up the idea. And what I'm saying about Derek Carr is that I don't want this to happen. I don't want it to be another rental quarterback. But Derek Carr is obviously done with Vegas. And if you don't get a quarterback, you probably got to go him.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree. I've always liked Derek Carr.
So I've always liked him, but I like he's him, not the future.
I think if it was 2020 over again, I would take Derek Carr to roll with. But at this point in his career, you know, in the team, I don't think yet.
Also, the thing about trading up is that if you are trading up to number one to get, you know, Bryce Young, right?
Yeah.
You got to be all in that you're going to at least be decent this year.
That's true.
Because next year is stacked. I mean, you got Caleb Williams. And then even if you don't want to go quarterback that route, you got Marvin Harrison Jr., who looks like the next great wide receiver in this league.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So if you trade up for Bryce Young, then if you're Ballard, you have to go all in this offseason. I'm not saying compete, but I'm saying at least go, you know, 7-10, 8-9, 9-8. And so you're not without a first-round pick that would be high. Because, you know, if you're trading up to one, you're going to have to give next year's first. I think a package is looking like, to Chicago, I think you could throw Ryan Kelly in that deal.
Yeah, maybe.
I think they would like an O-lineman there. I think you throw in the fourth pick, Ryan Kelly, you maybe get, you know, obviously the number one pick.
I just think you'll have to add something on top of Ryan Kelly.
You'll have to add Ryan Kelly next year's first. I'd say maybe a third-round pick. A second round pick.
Wait, you mean next year's first? You mean this year's first, or your
this year's first and next year's first? I think it's going to take two firsts to trade up to one.
No way.
I think it would.
At that point, I wouldn't do that because still, it depends on who's going to.
I would see. It's like what I'm saying. It's like I would if we're completely locked in on Young, because if you get Young, the next year's first isn't going to be insane to not have because you have that quarterback. And you can still trade up as well if you really like, you know, a defensive guy. What I'm afraid of is that we're not going to trade up. Young and Stroud are off the board. Mm-hmm. And we're either going to settle for Levis at four or we're going to draft, like, an O-lineman. That's worst-case scenario. And
If we draft an O-lineman, man, that's just...
It's terrible. It's terrible.
I mean, the O-line needs help, don't get me wrong, but...
But you got... Yeah, it's like... You got to go free agency that route.
Right.
So, I don't know.
That would be wild to me if we drafted an O-lineman, but it is what it is. So
I do want to kind of ask a question. Let's say they do get Bryce Young. You have an offense of Bryce Young, Jonathan Taylor, Michael Pittman Jr., Alec Pierce, and then I think you bring back Paris Campbell. He had an amazing year with three different quarterbacks.
Yeah, give or take.
I think if he had one quarterback all year, you know, just an average quarterback, really, he would have a 1,000-yard season.
I could see it.
So I think you bring him back. I don't hate that wide receiver group running it back with them.
I'm not a fan. I mean, it was better than the last couple of years.
Oh, for sure. I think that to make it better is to – go get yourself a real wide receiver one. I think Pittman would be an amazing wide receiver too. I totally agree with you. Him being a wide receiver one is too much.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And then you could throw Alec Pierce in the slot even.
Right.
Or, you know, have him as a backup.
Right.
So, but I don't hate that group running it back.
You know, the wide receivers this year in the draft, I mean, there's some good ones like Jackson Smith Njigba from Ohio State. I think that's a guy that if you can, I think he might fall because of his injury. So I think if you can get him, I don't know if he'll fall. I can't see him falling far. I think he'll still be a first round pick. But if he somehow,
but
does
if you trade up to number one, there's no way you get him.
No, I totally agree. I wouldn't draft him with the fourth overall.
Here's something I'll say. If you trade up to number one, you're gonna trade most of this draft. I mean, that's just how it's gonna be. You get Bryce Young, and when you draft a quarterback that high, you're going to want him – you're going to want to surround him with good pieces to help him. You don't want to be like the Bears with Justin Fields, because Justin Fields has never really had, you know, these weapons. So I think that you're going to want to kind of beef up your wide receiver group, your O-line. And the Cardinals have made DeAndre Hopkins available for trade this offseason. I think if you go for Bryce Young, you go after D-Hop.
Really?
I think so. I mean, you then that's a wide receiver group of D-Hop, Michael Pittman Jr., and then Paris Campbell in the slot. And I think that I think you could be a very good team with that, with first-year Bryce Young there. And so, I mean, maybe not a very good team, but, you know, a lot better than – than what
right
what they are this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then in that trade, I'd say you maybe just, I don't know how much draft capital you have, but for what he went in the Texans trade, I mean, I don't think wide receivers really, I mean, that was a terrible trade, but I don't think
it was
I don't think wide receivers and running backs in this league are worth more as much anymore.
No, they're not.
I think it's quarterbacks and O-linemen.
Totally agree.
So you know, I think you go after D-Hop at that point.
Yep.
I also want to go over that the Colts submitted a request to the Lions to interview both their offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, and their defensive coordinator, Aaron Glenn, per Adam Schefter. So, I like the I would like offensive coordinator move, Ben Johnson, especially if you draft a quarterback very high. You're going to want to bring in an offensive guy.
Yeah.
And especially not the Lions defensive guy in Aaron Glenn. I mean, they were one of the worst defenses in the league this year.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, Ben Johnson led one of the best offenses, so, yeah.
I think I just have a gut feeling that we're going to go with Saturday. And again, I don't hate it if he totally
revamps the staff. Yeah, I don't hate it. And if you bring in an offensive mind, I would not hate it. Because the head coach, I think it's going to be more important to bring in a great offensive coordinator than a head coach.
Right, totally agree.
And Saturday, he would lead the – I mean, I think he's a pretty good leader. There's no question in that. I mean, being at the top of your game as a center in the NFL, you're the leader of the offense alongside the quarterback. So, but, yeah, that's what I think the Colts should do. We'll see. I really hope they don't mess it up because – they usually don't get these high draft picks.
They don't.
This
they
is
don't.
A pretty unique year in that instance. So, but I'll move on to a little college hoops. I have a lot to talk about. First, about my favorite team, the Kentucky Wildcats, and you know what I think they should do. Kentucky is 10-6 right now, and I think they're the worst team in the SEC as of right now. I don't think. They just lost at home to South Carolina, who was deemed as the worst team.
I don't know if they're the
worst
team in the SEC.
I don't know. They just lost a home game to South Carolina, who was the worst. And I don't see things now looking up for Kentucky.
Yeah, that's true. I agree.
This roster is just, on paper, it was really good. You had returning Oscar Tshiebwe, National Player of the Year. You had returning point guard Sevier Wheeler. You had all these transfers. You had Damian Collins returning. It's like the team's not good. And they're all pinning it on Calipari, which I'll get into that too. But just back to the roster, it's like I think I love Oscar Tshiebwe. And, I mean, he'll go down as a legend at Kentucky, National Player of the Year, who returned the year later. I mean, he's a great guy, but I think he's good, and I think he might have an okay career in the NBA. But teams figured out how to guard him. That's with ball screens.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have that athleticism that you need. I mean, in the Alabama game, Alabama's big center, I forget his name, but he just dominated Tshiebwe. Just complete. It's because of his height and his athleticism, and Tshiebwe lacks that. And I think teams figured out how to guard him. And I also think it's because Kentucky is very one-dimensional through Tshiebwe. Sevier Wheeler is not a guard that you want leading a championship team. And, I mean, he's a decent player, but, you know, he's not a guard that Calipari likes to have. You've seen the point guard position at Kentucky be stacked throughout the past 10, 15 years, and it just hasn't been. These past couple years, you bring in C.J. Frederick from Iowa and Antonio Reeves from, I believe, South Carolina State. Or no, Illinois State. You bring them in to be good, you know, three-point shooters, and they haven't been that at all. Damian Collins, former five-star, and Chris Livingston, former five-star, have been completely unplayable. They're not experienced at all, which I get. Livingston's a freshman.
That's on Calipari. I mean, you can't throw five stars out there together and expect them to start winning games. They're obviously talented. Don't get me
they're
wrong.
They're talented, but
the
yeah.
thing I don't like about Calipari is he doesn't recruit the players he needs to recruit. He recruits the big guys, which again yeah. with the five stars. What I mean, yeah. big guys. And I just don't think that works. Again, I'm not trying to sit here and talk about Matt Painter the entire show. But the thing I do like about Painter is that he surrounds.
He doesn't his just go players, after stars,
right? He's not a guy to go get a five star recruit. He's a guy to bring guys in for 3 to 4 years, develop them, and then again try to win. Win Big Ten championships, make a run in the tournament. That's what he tries to do, and he surrounds those guys by getting guys from in-state in Indiana. And again, those three stars right now for Purdue, Braden Smith, Fletcher Lawyer might have been a four star on some sites. But anyway, those two guys are playing like, again, freshman All-American. Okay, so it's just how you structure your roster. Painter does a good job at that, and I think that's something Calipari should look at a guy like yeah. Matt Painter, adjust to it, and again, develop your roster around the pieces you need, not the big name.
And I think
guys.
He's done a great job of that for next year's team. I think because we've seen John Calipari is one of the best coaches in college basketball when he has when he has an NBA legend and when he has an NBA talent at point guard. You've seen John Wall, Brandon Knight, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, who's not a point guard but he's a guard. Tyler Hero, maybe Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, De'Aaron Fox, the list goes on. Jamal Murray, the list keeps going on. We haven't seen that since 2019-2020 with Tyrese Maxey and Emmanuel Quickley. And that team was peaking late, and, it's all theoretical because that tournament got canceled, but,
right.
I mean, he really believed that team could win it all. And same thing in 2018. 2018 was kind of a tough year with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You lost in the Sweet 16, but that team was still very good and just got upset. 2017, you were a Luke May game winner away from a Final Four, and that's when you had De'Aaron Fox at point guard.
Correct.
I actually think Shai might have been 2016. I might be mixing it up. But nonetheless, those teams with these NBA talent guards were very successful.
Right.
In 2020, 2021, the COVID year where Kentucky went 9-16, probably their worst year in history, they did not have a talented guard.
Right.
The next year following, their most talented guard was...
COVID year's a toss, in my opinion, for
yeah,
both sports.
Yeah, but also, even last year, your best guard was Ty Washington, who, yes, he's in the NBA, but he's a guy who's in the G League now, who I think he should have stayed another year. I think he left too early, but it's not, like, the same caliber of guys you got with, like, Jamal Murray and De'Aaron right. Fox and those guys. See, next year you're bringing in a guy like DJ Wagner, who we all know is a very, very talented guard. I mean, he had options
to
not even have.
I think he's the best player in high school.
100%. And next year, you have a very good team. I think next year, if Cal stays around, he could win a chip. And
I don't think Cal's going anywhere.
I don't know why he would. I just hate how the fan base treats him.
Here's why you're wrong as a fan right now. You're saying that a team you've never seen before, players you've never seen before, can win a national title. I'm not talking about you. I'm just talking about, fan bases think that in general. Again, you need to first look at what's realistic with that team. Realistic is to win the SEC, to win the conference, again. And then from there, you have more goals, to win the SEC tournament. After that, to win to win the overall tournament. But again, I don't think fans realize you got to take it game by game. Especially,
that's true. That's true.
And I think your expectations are too high for this year's team and I think next year's
and
team.
And I want to go off that. I think it's just Kentucky fans have been spoiled with Calipari.
I totally agree.
He got them, four Final Fours, a national title. And, okay, he regressed a little bit. Competition got harder. It's hard to win national championships. It's not
absolutely.
An easy thing to do. And it's like Kentucky fans freak out whenever he's not the best team in basketball. I get it. This year has been horrible. And the past 3 years have not been great. But you got to take into account everything that's happened.
Right.
Everything. I mean, it's just like, I don't know. And next year you have, you have probably the best recruiting class Kentucky's ever had. And one of the best in all of basketball. One of the best you've seen since Duke's Zion class with R.J. Barrett and Cam Reddish.
Agree.
You got to just let him figure it out this year. They might not even make the tournament this year. I'm going to be honest with you. And so what? It's 1 year. You got to let him. If he doesn't succeed next year, then it might be time to part ways. It might be time. Because then that would be, 4 or 5 years in a row where
right.
you haven't been, Kentucky. You haven't been Kentucky basketball. But for now, you got to let him work it out. I mean, just to kind of have hope for this team, you have a couple really tough games here in January, but you have chances to win some. You have home game against Georgia, home game against Texas A&M, at Vanderbilt, at Ole Miss. I think those are all games you should win. You have a game at Tennessee this weekend where if you can pull it off, that would be a complete turnaround. I don't expect them to. And then they also host Kansas later in the month. So you have time. It's still very early. 10-6 is not where you want to be. I think as of today, they wouldn't make the tournament. They don't really have any great wins. So, but yeah, that's kind of my Kentucky rant there.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying, but it's been pretty good in West Lafayette for basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Can't complain. Purdue is right now, I can't remember the record top. 15-1, 14-1.
I know they've only lost one game.
Yeah, so again, they're number three this week in the rankings. You can make an argument they probably, you know, should have stayed 2 or 1, which is here nor there. But man, Purdue has just been, they've been awesome this season. Again, led by Zach Edey and then Fletcher Lawyer and Braden Smith, who have been complete surprises to the entire fan base. Purdue only has one loss, and that comes to a Rutgers game where Purdue played probably the worst game of the season against them. We just can't beat Rutgers in basketball. Michigan and Rutgers in basketball and Wisconsin in football are Achilles' heel. You know, we just don't play well against them, never match up to them. So again, those are the two Big Ten teams that have always had our number are those two teams. But anyway, Rutgers beat us by 1 point at Mackey. Then I thought Purdue was going to lose 3 games that week. They looked so bad. They looked really bad first half until with 4 minutes to go, they started hitting shots against Ohio State. Had a nice road win against Ohio State on the road, which again is very, very tough to do for Purdue, especially led by those freshmen. Had a huge road win. Fletcher Lawyer with the game kind of, I don't want to say ceiling, but a game, you know, crucial game shot there. And then you beat Penn State on the road, which is now listed as a road game, even though it was at the Penn. It was listed as a road game now for Purdue, and it was basically at Penn State. A lot of Penn State fans there, and Purdue was able to get another nice W there. So again, Purdue is the number three team in college basketball. You can make the argument that they should be higher. It's here nor there.
Who's above them?
Houston and Kansas, which again, it makes sense. But people who say, I saw
Houston shouldn't be number one. Kansas should.
Yeah,
Purdue should be number two. Houston number three.
I kind of agree with that. I don't know. It's here, you know. Houston was two. That's the only, I mean, Kansas didn't have really any reason to jump them. They did have a nice road win at West Virginia, but that's whatever. So again, Purdue should be pretty good all season. And Kansas came down to the wire with Oklahoma at home last night, which I think is interesting.
Yeah. Purdue's a team that I'd really like to see win a natty this year, especially.
Of course. I mean, every year I want them to do that.
But, I think they could. I think this year in college basketball, there's not an elite team.
I agree with that, but still, it's Purdue, so we don't know. Just stay healthy and try to win your conference before. So that's,
yeah.
Yeah, just try to focus.
It's
going to
be an interesting year. I really just, I mean, it's just like I'm excited for it, but not as excited as I am when Kentucky's good. So I really hope they turn it around so I can, you know, have that college basketball excitement back. But nonetheless, I'm also cheering for Purdue a little bit. As long as it's not IU.
That's right, yeah.
IU's bad. I think IU's...
Yeah, I don't think they're very good
not
either.
Not good at all. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how my Kentucky Wildcats do. All fans can do right now is support. There's no reason. I mean, did you see the fan at the game who had a sign that said, please go to Texas?
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. This guy's won you a national title, multiple Final Fours,
they don't,
whatever.
Our
they
fan
don't
base
respect
doesn't
him.
Appreciate
no.
anything.
And it's sad to see, honestly.
It really is. I mean, luckily he got kicked out of the game.
Did he?
Yep.
That's crazy.
Well, because they wanted to just, take the sign and... Or, remove the sign from the game, but he was like, no, I want to keep it, and then they just kicked him out. It's like, imagine what the players think.
Yeah,
seeing that.
I can't, yeah.
The guy leading their team. And there's also just like, I think there's, I'm kind of ranting about Kentucky again, kind of like doing that recently, but I think there's just internal issues on the team. I don't think this team likes each other. Like, it's like Oscar Tshiebwe had a transition dunk and the bench just wasn't up at all. Like, they just didn't even look into it. Throughout the entire game, they didn't show fight. I mean, near the end of the game, Kentucky almost pulled off a comeback and the bench was, you know, kind of excited.
Right.
It's just like, I just think there's a lot of issues on this team.
I get what you're saying there.
I really don't get what's wrong.
Yeah. I think it's...
because on paper, this team's better than last year. And last year, they were a 2 seed. I know they lost
to St. Peter's. On paper, though, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But also, it's not even just on paper. Most of that roster is returning from last year.
That's true.
Especially the guard and the center position.
See, what's interesting is it's the team that lost to St. Peter's. Now...
I think, okay,
you add a couple pieces, which is great.
I'm not
wondering. But I'm telling you, and again, I'm not trying to make this Purdue-Kentucky, but I just think Purdue's a completely different team than last year. You lose your two biggest turnover threats, Jaden Ivey, Travion Williams. You add in Ethan Morton, the starting lineup, who barely turns the ball over. You add in Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer, who, again, don't turn the ball over. They do, but it's very occasionally. So I think that's something that's interesting, is, again, you take off the two biggest turnover threats, which was probably the main problem in the St. Peter's
College
game.
Basketball is not a sport right now like it is in the NBA where you have these stars that just, you know.
I agree.
To get the ball in crunch time and go to work. It's not like that. You have to play team basketball, and you have to have guys who work together, not just five stars thrown around in a group. So, yeah, I agree with you there. And but I want to kind of go off last year. I'm not really one to just straight up blame injuries, but I think if Ty Washington never got injured against Auburn, that team could have been special.
And if Chuma Okeke never got hurt for Auburn, they would have been special too. Won it all, so yeah. There's a lot of what if buts, but
I think last year's Kentucky team was very good. They peaked early. And I wouldn't even really say they peaked early. They were peaking, and then Ty got injured.
Yeah.
He was never the same after.
Last year, Purdue
Kellen Grady really wasn't the same after. I mean, there's so many what-ifs, though, in college basketball.
Right, exactly.
There's too many. I mean,
if John Wooden would have came to Purdue, stuff like that, it's just...
There's so many what-ifs, especially in the tournament. Like, what if this team didn't lose? They could have won it all. Like, that could go for everything.
Right, exactly. So I don't try to pay attention to stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. It's just sad. Sad where Kentucky's. I really hope this isn't the fall of the program. If Cal leaves, it will be.
Who do you get?
I don't know who you get, but I'll say this:
is there any Kentucky legends that are now coaching or anything like that?
No, I think you gotta try. I think it's a long shot. If Cal leaves, you gotta try for Mark Few from Gonzaga. I don't know why he would leave. Let me just say, it's just Kentucky is a higher paid job.
Yeah, Kentucky can pay more.
It's a bigger
better,
school.
Easier to recruit, stuff like that.
It's a better program.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think you could also go after Scott Drew from Baylor.
Yeah, I don't see either of them leaving their program. Yeah. And I understand what the pluses of Kentucky are, but you got to see the opposite side
but
of them.
They've
built national programs at their two respected schools.
Or... You go after Kenny Payne from Louisville. He's been on Kentucky staff for years.
He's awful though.
No, he's not. No.
Louisville
he's not.
Doesn't even come out with energy.
Louisville's terrible because they are rebuilding because of I think their last coach Chris Mack.
Oh
right?
Yes,
he
Mack
left,
got
and
trouble.
All of those recruits left.
Mm-hmm.
You know that's what's gonna happen. I'm saying if Cal leaves, that's what will happen to Kentucky next year. You can say buy it. I mean, I don't think any Kentucky fans are gonna be listening to this. But, like, if you're a Kentucky fan, if you want Cal gone, go ahead and say goodbye to DJ Wagner, Justin Edwards, Aaron Bradshaw. Maybe Reed Sheppard would stay because he's a Kentucky native. His dad played at Kentucky. But Kentucky's going to be in a very similar position to Louisville next year if Cal leaves. I think Kentucky...
But Louisville's just, like, I mean, they're
Louisville
historically terrible this year.
Oh, they're horrible. I get that. But it's because all these recruits left. And... I think Kentucky is a better destination than Louisville, so I think Kentucky could still bring in some guys
yeah.
and be okay. But it's like, I be careful what you wish for.
I agree, really, totally wishing for Cal to leave. Yeah.
Because you're wishing for the best, one of the best classes of all time to leave. So
yeah, I get that.
And I'm just really interested to see as a guy like DJ Wagner at Kentucky again. You haven't had that since for 4 years.
Right, so. Right. It was going to be interesting to see how they finish off the season and whatnot. So
I mean, if they win this Saturday in Knoxville, you know, upset Tennessee, I could see this entire season changing.
Absolutely.
But even like, I'm not expecting them to win, but dropping Saturday and going to 10-7, I think that would just be terrible.
I mean,
they're already 1-3 in the conference.
That's true.
You'd basically be eliminating your conference hopes.
Right.
Which I don't know if there is any anymore. But I think Cal's a good enough coach that he can figure it out, though. I think that Kentucky could maybe still get in the tournament as like an 8 seed.
Yeah.
9 seed, 10 seed, maybe a play-in team, 12 seed.
I mean, yeah. It just,
that's all I'm hoping
for. It depends,
for.
Yeah.
I just don't want to be in the NIT.
Yeah, I get that.
Yep. But yeah, that was a pretty good rebound episode of the Playbook Podcast.
Oh yeah, we're back.
Haven't done this in a minute because of winter break, but we'll be. I think Landon also wants to do a podcast about the Pacers, so you guys can also tune into that too on Indy's Giant 90.9 on Spotify. Anyways, have an amazing day, and we are signing out for Mid-Navy Studios.